right. God is continuing to speak to us about being available to be used by him. And it is good, you know, like when Cornelius is sharing about history, because he is a God of history. And the reason why God goes back time and time again in history, he wants us to be reminded that he is faithful throughout history. My mic is not coming out so well. Let me... Yeah, so he's reminding us day by day that he's a God of history. And he wants us to be at that place where we are reminded that his faithfulness and love is without here for generations. And when we look back, we are reminded that he is faithful and he with us. And we want as a church to be people who will respond to the generosity of God, the generous heart and love of God. We want to be people who will respond to that. How are we responding to that? That is why we, for the next few months, we are going to be looking at this series, Here I Am, making ourselves available to whatever it is that the Father wants to do in our lives. Matt kickstarts off last week by just giving us an overarch of the theme and what we are going to be looking at. And today, I want to dig into a little bit of history and see how did people who avail themselves saying, here I am, how did God respond to them? So very quickly, I'm going to look at a very familiar story that you all know. So I was planning to read it all, but because of time, I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to read just a little bit of it, then probably more of it will come as I go by. The story comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, from verse 1. I'm just going to read the first few verses. The Bible says, sometimes after these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son, Isaac. The question I was pondering this morning was, does God really speak? Now, I understand for majority of us, we do believe that God speaks. Because we are believers and we read the Bible and we hear God speaking to Moses. We hear God speaking through the prophets. We hear affirmatively God speaking through Jesus. But the big question is, does God really speak to me personally? Does his voice resonate in my mind? Do I understand his words that are speaking to me personally in my situation? And you might be at church for a very long time, but someone telling you that God speaks to me or God speaks to you, you might look at it like someone telling you there are aliens in the world or there are unicorns in the world. It might be such a strange thing for you because you might not have experienced it in your life or perceived that God can actually speak to you. Now, the text that we read says, sometimes after these things, God spoke to Abraham. There was a period, there were things that had happened prior to this moment of God speaking to Abraham. There were moments in Abraham's previous life that brought him there, where he is standing at this very moment, where God is testing him as he is speaking to him. And Abraham is able to recognize the voice of God and say, here I am. Why is he able to recognize the voice of God? Because the voice of God has become familiar to him. Every child of God should be able to hear the voice of the Father. But you are not going to hear the voice of the Father if you don't get into the pattern, the familiarity of constantly hearing the voice of the Father. We look at Genesis chapter 12. We meet Abraham. His father has just died. And God calls Abraham and tells him, leave your country. I'm going to the country I'm going to show you. Now, Abraham leaves everything and goes, not knowing where he is going, but he heeds the voice of God and makes that journey. Now, you might have thought, Abraham, it was easy for him. He was living in a different country. He was living in a place where people were not worshiping the true God that he was worshiping. So it would have been an easy way to say, I'm going to go even if I'm not going where I know. I'm going to go because I don't want to be here anyway. But then, Lord, God will test him again another moment when he was with his nephew, Lot. And there is a disagreement between their workers, and Abraham says, let us separate. So you choose. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. You go to the north, I'll go to the east. And Lot, looking towards Sodom and Gomorrah, sees there are greener pastures here, and he says, I'm going to go there. Now, Abraham, being the oldest, would have said, no, I choose first because I'm older. But Abraham chooses to go seemingly a desert place and lets Lot go in the right place. Meekness and obedient to the voice of God that was speaking to him. Sometimes later, Lot is kidnapped and the people raid the area and take Lot into captivity. And Abraham gets his servants and they go and they rescue Lot from where he had been captured. And as Lot is brought back, the king of Sodom comes with offering of gold and silver and cattle and calves and offers it to Abraham as a thanksgiving to say, thank you very much, you rescued us from the captivity. But Abraham says, no, I'm not going to take anything from you because I don't want to be rich because of your hand or your doing. I don't want to put myself in that position whereby I am making my own way, but I'll continue trusting God to be my provider. Listening to the voice of God. And just a chapter after this, we see God telling Abraham, send your son Ishmael away. Ishmael was a son that Abraham had conceived with Hagar out of his own fleshly tendencies. And because of the disagreement between Ishmael and Isaac, Sarah, who had proposed the idea, comes and tells Abraham, send him away. I want him gone. And Abraham is wondering, what am I going to do? But God tells Abraham, listen to your wife Sarah. And the pain of that, the pain of him sending his son away without knowing where he's going, he gives Sarah bread and a pot of water and sends Hagar away with Ishmael, trusting God that they will be all right. And now he meets the test of his life. God is now telling him, take your son, your only son, and lay him as a sacrifice to me. But God had promised me this son. God had made a promise that through Abraham is going to be a father of many nations. He had made a promise to him that his generation will be like the sand of the sea. So God, what are you doing? And we will find in our lives there is always a contention between the promise and the problem. God gives us the promise, and we know God's promise. But there is a problem. But we have to deal every day with that problem facing us, yet we have the promise that he has made. What are we supposed to do in this sense? Because Abraham is looking and is saying, this is my son who is the son of the promise. But God is telling me, sacrifice him on the altar for me. I want to tell you, before the blessings, there is the suffering. I sometimes wish I'll just jump to the blessing. Because God has already promised he'll give it to me. So God, just jump on ahead and give it to me. But God is saying, no, there is a process in between here which you don't understand. You can't figure it out. But by me taking you through that process, by my be journeying with you through this journey, you're going to see something that you would never have seen had I jumped from the promise to the blessing. And that is what I want us to see this morning, that as we lead our lives every day, as we say, here I am, God, there is a process that we are walking into. And that process is maturing us, is nurturing us, is building us up, is building our resilience, our faith, our love, our hope into something better so that we can be able to enjoy the blessing that God is bringing our way. So, there is that contention that we have to live with day by day. So, why would I have to go through that? I want to suggest to you three very important things that will make it so important for me to continue on the journey of saying, I'm going to hang on to this process until I see the blessing. One of those things is for completion. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians, it says that, Corinthians 1:13, it says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Three things will remain in your life: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of them being love. For you to be able to receive the blessings, for you to be able to be in that place of saying yes, Lord, every day and walking those steps every day, you need to keep these three things in mind. And God is going to test you through your life, through this process. Where is your faith? Where is your hope? Where is your love? How do we see that displayed in Abraham's life? Let us start with faith. We see faith in Hebrews 11:17. The Bible says, by faith, when Adam, God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice, he had embraced the promises, was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Just let's, for a second, consider Abraham's faith here. By this moment that God is telling Abraham, sacrifice your son Isaac, it was a very difficult thing for Abraham to understand because, as I said, Isaac was the son of the promise. But Abraham made up his mind, I am going to do it. Now, for us, it is easy for us to say, not a big deal. Why? Because we have Genesis 22. Because we have other scriptures that can show us the end of the story, and we can sit pretty here and say, oh, I know my God will do it. Because there is history that has gone behind us that we can look at and we say, God, you've been unfaithful in this area, on that person, on that situation. I can be trusting, knowing that you are going to come through. But there was no history for Abraham to look at. There was nothing. But Abraham said, I am trusting that God will still come through, and I'm going to do it without a shadow of a doubt. Now, that is why Hebrews depicts it well by saying, Abraham believed that even if he goes through with this, God has the power to raise his son from the dead. Now, by the time Abraham is saying this, you and I can say, oh, that's great, God can do it. Nobody had been raised from the dead by that time. But Abraham had that faith. He didn't have the faith that, oh, God is going to stop me from doing it. No, that's not the faith he had. He didn't think, along the way, let me just passively say yes to this. Then along the way, God will show up and he will stop me. He didn't think that. He thought that, I am going to go through with it. And by going through with it, I will finish it, but I have faith because of his promise that I'll be the father of many nations. God will raise my son up from the dead. That is faith. And that is the faith that God is calling us to trust him and believe him of the things that are unseen, of the things that we have never experienced in our life. That is the kind of faith he's calling in us. Hope. Romans 4:18 says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as he had said to him, so shall your offsprings be. Abraham believed absolutely in the coming good. Hope is the absolute trust in the coming good. And even though Abraham was old, even though his wife Sarah was old, Abraham had hope that he is going to become a father of many nations. And so did he become a father of many nations because he continued having that hope in God. How did he display love? God is telling him, take your son, the one you love, and offer him to me as a sacrifice. And we see without hesitation, Abraham does it. So, not only do we become complete when we say, here I am, God. We become complete by faith, hope, and love. Secondly, we got to contemplate. We got to meditate. We got to pause and look and wonder at the goodness, at the plan, at the marvelous plan of God when we experience those steps that we say, here I am. There is something in me that believes that God exists for me. There is something in us that believes on so many occasions that God exists for me, for you. And that is displayed in our conduct, in our worship, in our prayers, in our engagement with each other. We have a problem and we go to God, oh God, fix it. I'm broke, I need money. God, please provide money. Oh God, I'm sick, I'm feeling healed. God, heal me. Oh, someone is really annoying me and rubbing me the wrong way. Oh God, will you please sort it out? And that is displayed in how we interact in our prayers, in our time with God. It's displayed. And I'm not saying there is anything wrong in us bringing such kind of prayers to God. He loves them, he hears them, he answers them. But the most important prayers that we need to be praying in our life is, God, what are you doing in this situation that I'm in at this very moment? What are you trying to teach me in this storm that is before me? Because I'll rather God be with me in the storm, be with me in that hard moment, be with me in that difficult circumstances, than God take it away. Because it is in that moment that we learn, that we engage, that we develop relationship. So we see Abraham doing just that, walking with God. And he has an opportunity to contemplate, to pause, what is it that God is doing? How does he do that? Watch this. Abraham, the Bible says, the following morning after God telling him this, it says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. Now, Abraham, you have to realize that Abraham at this stage, he's a very rich man. He has cattle, he has camels, he has all sorts of livestock. He has male servants and female servants. He's very rich. But what do we see Abraham doing? Abraham himself, instead of just saying, oh, my servant, would you go do this and do that, himself, actively, he's going to gather the wood. Actively, he's rising up in the morning. Actively, he's saddling his own donkey. Abraham is fully engaged. Even though what God has asked him is so heavy and difficult, Abraham is actively involved in what God is doing. Why is this so important to us? Here at church, we say that we exist to display the transformative light of Jesus to others wherever we go. That light of Jesus is not displayed by us speaking to them or by us talking to them or by us telling them to do things. That light of Jesus is displayed by people just looking at us, seeing how we are reacting, seeing how we are walking, seeing how we are doing things. That light of Jesus is reflecting by them observing us and then doing, because then they know Jesus is shining. So Abraham displays that light of Jesus as he goes. The second thing that God is trying to teach him in this transformation and in this pausing, we see as they are going up the mountain, as they are going, Isaac asks him, Father, and Abraham says, here I am. The second time in the same text he's saying, here I am. And Isaac asks him, Father, I can see the wood, I can see the fire, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham tells Isaac, God himself will provide the sacrifice. Now, on this journey that we are on, you might not know what it is that you are doing. Other people are looking and observing you and learning something. But because you are just being obedient to what God is doing, they will start asking questions. And you will have an opportunity in a very unique way to explain to people, God will provide. I do not know what is happening in my life. I do not know why I have to go through the things that I'm going through at the moment. But what I know is that God is on the throne. I do not know why you are feeling this way. I do not know why your prayers are not being answered. I do not know why things seem difficult for you. But what I know is my God will provide. And we get that unique opportunity to tell people It is God. We are looking at God. So many at times we get into situations whereby, you know, God has blessed us with abilities to be able to help people's problems, to answer them, to be able to articulate issues. And people can look up to us to say, what do you think, Keith? What do you think, Steve? And we can have the answers to them. And even though God will use us in that way, but sometimes it denies God the glory because then the focus is on us. But when we reach those difficult situations whereby people are asking us things and we don't have the answers, then we have to point them to God and say, I don't know, but I know God does. So that saying, here I am, gives us that opportunity to engage people and point them to Jesus. And not only that, but most importantly, what God is doing through this process. There is something that is happening with what is happening in our lives that we have no idea, but God does. Away from our thinking, away from our suffering, away from the stuff that is going on, God is doing something in between that you and I have no clue. But if we are just patient enough, we will see clearly what he was doing. So what is happening here? Abraham is walking with his son, taking him to sacrifice. And we see him, he has reached the top of the mountain and he has put the stones down. He has laid the wood and then he has tied his son and he has laid him on the wood. And then he takes a knife and he wants to strike and kill his son in obedience to God. But in the midst of that, in the last very moment, God calls, Abraham, Abraham, do not harm your son. We might reach at the end of our tether. We might reach at the end. We have been seeking answers. We have been seeking solutions. But at the end of our tether, in the last very moment, God will show up. And it is surprising that on this occasion, God calls him twice. He says, Abraham, Abraham. God realizing the urgency that he had to call Abraham because Abraham was willing to do it, and God calls him twice. And because Abraham was already recognizing the voice of God, he recognizes the voice of God. But God had to call him twice because God did not want him to do something that was not in his plan. But Abraham, what Abraham didn't know, this very time, as he is climbing the mountain with his son, these 3 days, as he is going with Isaac through the mountain, God is doing something. Somewhere, sometime on a shepherd has lost a ram. A ram has wandered off from a shepherd, and this ram has just wandered off and found itself at the top of the mountain, stuck in a thicket. God is doing something. Abraham doesn't see it, but in the very moment when God says, Abraham, do not see it, see, he opens his eyes and there it is. God has provided a ram. I say this to encourage you, whatever it is that you are going through, you might not be seeing a way out. But in the midst of it, God is working a way out around it. If you continue sticking to the path, you will open your eyes and it will be right there in your face. And you will be wondering, God, why was I so troubled? Because he's doing something beyond you. But not only that. Abraham is going through this, but God is doing something even greater. Isaac, being a picture of Jesus, was born miraculously. Jesus was also born miraculously through a virgin. Isaac carrying his wood up going to the mountain. Jesus will carry the cross of our sin going up at Calvary. And as he reaches Calvary, Abraham laying his son to strike him, God stopped him. But on that very day, on that Good Friday, God did not withhold his hand from his son. God struck his son time and time again. Every strip that he was beaten, every abuse that he was given, every tear that he shed, every nail that was driven through him, God looked away. Because this is a picture of what God is gonna do for generations. Abraham didn't see it, But I believe at the top of the mountain, as he wants to strike his son, he saw a clear picture. How do I know that? In John chapter 8, this is what Jesus says. Jesus says in John 8, 56 to 59, he says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad." When did Abraham see Jesus' day? He saw Jesus' day at the top of the mountain. When he had climbed it, when he was about to go on with the sacrifice, he saw this is a picture of the one to come. This is the picture of Jesus. And he rejoiced because he knew, God, you have used me for something that will save the world. And now, after that sacrifice, we see the blessings. So the angel of the Lord tells Abraham after this, the angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven and a second time and say, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make you a descendant as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand of the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offsprings, all nations on earth will be blessed. You have obeyed me." Because he climbed the mountain, he gets the blessings. And even though Abraham went up the mountain with a heavy heart, he descended down with the blessings of God. For us, it's even better. Because on that day when Jesus climbed that mountain and he was nailed on the cross, he was put in the grave and he rose again. This picture that is depicting Jesus, when Jesus rose again in victory. And not only have we been given physical possessions, but we have been given eternal possessions. Jesus is saying, "You are seated with me in heavenly places." Jesus is saying, "I have adopted you as my sons and daughters." Jesus is saying, "I have given you the keys to the kingdom." Jesus is saying that you have become my ambassadors. Jesus is saying you have become my friends. The inheritance that we have received through Jesus rising from the dead is beyond the sacrifice that any of us can ever make. So, my urge to you is that make the sacrifice. What is it that God will tell you to sacrifice this morning? What is it that has been going on in your head and God has been speaking to you? "I want you to sacrifice this to me." It might look like that thing is so important to you in the moment, but the riches of his glory, when you go through the pain of sacrificing that very thing, are far beyond whatever it is that you are holding on to. So as we go through this series of giving ourselves in saying, "Here I am, God," it's a daily sacrifice. As the word says that, let us offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy to God. Let us offer that day by day. And I do trust that nothing that we will lay down will be compared to the riches of his glory that we are going to receive. I just want you to bow your head for a minute. Maybe you are there, you've never ever told God, "Here I am." Maybe because of fear, maybe because of doubt, maybe because you are holding on to whatever it is that you have and you feel like, "I cannot lose this." I want to invite you. Whatever it is you are holding on to, let it go. Give it to him. Give him your heart this day. Give him your money. Give him your job. Give him your spouse. Give him your children. Give him anything that you feel like is so valuable to me. Sacrifice that thing to him. And just let him take you through this journey, through this process, that he will teach you faith, hope, and love. that he will teach you how just to ponder and meditate and just get lost in what he is doing, that will give you opportunities just to share with other people through your life being a testimony to others, that will allow you that opportunity to tell others, God will provide. Even if I don't have the answers, God will provide. And that will give you a clear picture of who God is and what he's doing in your life. And so, Lord, here we are, just offering ourselves once again. We say, Father, take the little that we have and use it as you wish. We give you permission this day, this week, this month, this year, in our life. We offer it to you, Jesus. And Father, we know that there are situations where we are afraid. There are situations where we are timid. There are situations where we are worried. But Father, even in the worry, we want to give it to you. Even in the fear, we want to give it to you. And we pray that, Father, you will just teach us through this season how to walk with you, how to depend on you, how to lean on you. Because, Lord, the riches of your glory supersedes any sacrifice that we will make. And even as you say in your word, you desire obedience, not sacrifice. So, Father, we pray we will be obedient to what you are speaking to us this morning. Do it for your glory. Amen.